KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed your time with Jim Williams yesterday. Jim spending time with Ethel Maharg from Love Life, the great work they're doing to mobilize churches to share the love of Christ with those considering an abortion. And through their ministry, we have seen lives saved. People have chosen life, and your church can be a part of that too. Go back and check out the archives at abqconnect.online, which, by the way, if you miss any portion of today's broadcast or you want to share it with someone, that's the place to find it. Go to abqconnect.online. You can listen to it, stream from there, or download it and send it to someone you'd like to have hear any of the conversations that we have. And we hope you'll stay with us through the full hour. Coming up later in this hour, New Mexico Men of Honor, they're getting ready for an event coming up this Friday. Starts at 5 o'clock at the Salvation Army Church here in Albuquerque. And there'll be fellowship, worship, food trucks. And the guest speaker for that event we'll have in our second portion of the broadcast, second half of the show. Details, though, on this Friday's event with New Mexico Men of Honor, you can go to nmmenofhonor.com. Glenda Durano joins us in studio, a local author. Glenda, I didn't look through all of the things that you sent to me. Speaker, are you doing any speaking?
I am speaking.
Pull that rope.
I am speaking.
Okay. So
I love telling the story of what God has done in our
life. Yeah, and we're going to cover, man, I'm really looking forward to this. On that note, though, author and speaker, let me send people to GlendaDurano.com. Yes. You can go to the website and find out more about the book Sacred Sight that we're going to be talking about. And Glenda, you know, a great place, which... Let me back up a little bit. Some of our listeners may be familiar with Glenda Durano. Glenda's been on our broadcast in the past. Now, you're retired, but in times past, you've been on the broadcast walking families through getting prepared to head out to college and the financial things that are involved with that and so much more.
That's right. I was a certified educational planner for over 20 years and just helped people navigate that process. But now that I have a couple of grandchildren, I've been called to a slightly higher calling.
Yeah, and congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
My family has known the Duranos for quite some time. Our daughters went to school together. We're going to hear Amberly's story and your story, Glenda, the family story, really.
Yes.
That's coming out of Sacred Sight, which is a good transition. Let's jump right into that story, that journey, and then as we move on through our time together, we'll pull things from that we all, that you learned, your family learned, and really we all can find some application.
Absolutely. One of the most important things to know is that our daughter Amberly always wanted to be a missionary, especially to an unreached people group. The only thing that kind of bugged her was that she knew that the most effective missionaries to an unreached people group was someone who was indigenous to that group, and there was nothing in her heritage that was unreached. So she was closing in on her dream, getting her degree in nursing when she was studying for midterm, and she developed a headache, and one of her friends said, well, here, let me give you an over-the-counter pain medication, very, very common. She took that medication. She'd had it one time in her life, and her body didn't know what to do with it, developed an allergic reaction, which is called toxic epidermal necrolysis. And what happens is all of the linings of your organs, your stomach, lungs, eyes, ears, nose, throat, and your skin, your largest organ, bubbles up into large blisters, pops, peels off. It's like you're being burned from the inside out, kills one in three who have it. And it was absolutely devastating to our family. Of course, we prayed that she would be healed. After over a month in the ICU, they said, you know, there's nothing more we can do. And so they let her out. The most devastating side effect, there were a lot of them, but was that when her eyelids had peeled, her corneas had become so scratched she could no longer see. So now our wannabe nurse missionary was blind. Well, miraculously, we found a man doing experimental surgery on this type of problem, and she regained 60% of her vision in one eye, 20% in the other, and we were thrilled. We thought, yay, God! 6 months later, she was hit with glaucoma and became blind again. And we were really confused, really upset at God. And we said, so Amberly, you're blind. You can't be a missionary. What do you want to do? And she said, I still feel called to medical missions. Maybe I can teach people. And so she began to get her Master's of Public Health, which is, public health is a field that a lot of missionaries study because it's about helping marginalized people groups.
Fine.
And so she began studying that. Everything was going great. And then about a year into that situation, she called us. She said, you know, Mom, I've been really thinking about what God wants me to do. And I've come to a conclusion. We've been praying for my healing for about 4 years and God hasn't healed me. And I think I know why. We said, well, why? And she said, I think God can use me more as a blind person than as a person with sight. Now, this completely blew us away. This was totally foreign to any type of our theology. And so we thought.
And she was, I mean, was she even 20 by then?
She was 22 at that point.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, yeah. So talk about someone who just really is tuned into the Lord. So we thought, well, who are we to say, although this sounds like blasphemy. So for the first time, we sat down and instead of saying, Lord, heal my daughter, I said, God, what do you want? And God very distinctly said, okay, you have been praying for her healing so much that her healing has become an idol. You have been focusing more on what I can do than who I am.
And I think some people hear that and they go, no, wait a minute. We've heard from good teaching, good things considered in the wrong way. Yeah, they can become if they come before God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, anything that becomes more important or that changes your opinion about God, like, oh, this is more important or less, whatever.
Yeah.
It's an idol because it's God needs to be everything.
Well, now, when this occurred, the reaction to the medicine, you'd been walking with the Lord for decades.
Absolutely. For 40 years. This completely changed the way.
Yes. And you'd pray the disciples' prayer or, you know, similar prayers for a very long time. It sounds to me when God worked in Amberly's life and her wisdom to get to a point where she's like, you know, I think maybe God wants to use me as is.
Absolutely.
It probably brought a whole new understanding and meaning to prayers like, your will be done.
Completely. In fact, what I discovered, although I didn't know it until later, this was a real process, was that a lot of times we think the strongest faith is believing God can do it. God can do it. You know, the strongest faith is a surrendered faith, in my opinion, one that says, okay, Lord, the outcome doesn't matter because you love me. You know what's best, and so I trust you. But, you know, we live in a world of circumstances, and yes, the Bible does teach us to pray about our circumstances, but more important than results of our prayer is the relationship that we build with Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's a couple of things that I would take from your family's journey in walking through this. As a Christian family, you had a rough time.
It was incredibly, incredibly hard, many tears. But what we realized, as almost everyone has who's gone through a catastrophe, hard isn't the same as bad.
Yeah.
Because God didn't come to be our fixer. He came to be our Savior and to be with us in whatever situation we are in.
Right. And that's another lesson that I want to mention. But before I get there, so as a Christian— difficult. How, can you even begin to imagine walking through what you went through without Christ?
Oh my, I've thought about that so much. No, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. You know, you have a choice of whether or not people said, how are you keeping your hope? Because I did a lot of blogging during the process. And I said, well, I have a choice. I can either keep my hope and my faith in Christ, or I can just plummet down. I mean, into oblivion. And that wasn't for us. We had to.
And I'm going this route because if someone's listening as a Christian or as a non-Christian dealing with whether it's the death of a loved one, the illness of a loved one, some kind of trial, that a divorce, something we can't even imagine the kind of pain and difficulty that they're in. First of all, I think the first thing is, let me introduce you to Christ. You need to know Christ. If you are listening and you're not there, I encourage you to start in the book of John. And you can find that online. Just look for the Bible online and you'll or download the Bible app and read the book of John. God willing, the Spirit will work in convicting you to believe Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And now, once you're there, we've already kind of gotten there. He's not going to always. Sometimes he'll remove you from the trial.
Sometimes
he'll walk right, remove you from it and be with you. And sometimes he'll walk right through it with you.
Right. In fact, I believe that it's more important. Yes, God does rescue us many times from our trials, but I feel like we need to value his presence in our trials more than we value the respite from those trials, because that's where you really get to know the Lord, and that's so critical.
Now, so your daughter's continued in her disability.
She has.
I'm assuming, some of this is because I'm acquainted with her, and I happen to know the nursing program she was in. She got into as a teenager. I was prepared to graduate from high school with a degree.
Right.
I mean, she's one of those students.
Yes.
I imagine that she's been able to dive right into learning new processes. She's years into it now. She's a mother of two.
Yes, she is.
You mentioned the grandchildren. That's how old are they?
We've got a 2.5-year-old and a 3-month-old. And, you know, they said that she would never be able to have children.
Yeah.
So it's a miracle.
God has shown miracles.
Totally.
I mean, and you said how many survive what she went through?
One in three die.
Okay.
And so it's pretty miracle.
So, yeah. Very low chances of surviving what she went through,
right.
and then to have her be able to have children,
right.
What a blessing that is to you. I mean, being acquainted with you and your family, what a blessing it is to our family to know this story and see what God has done.
Yes.
Now let's talk about disability.
Sure.
What part of the population is?
Sure, this is an important part of the story, because eventually Amberlee was a miraculous story, but she started an organization, a nonprofit that helps churches integrate people with disabilities into the life of the church. There's 1 billion people in the world who live with disabilities, and only 10 to 20% of the people with disabilities will ever formally hear the gospel in church. In fact, in America, 1 in 5 people are either developmentally, intellectually, or physically disabled, and yet we do not see that ratio in our churches. So the goal is not to, gosh, we have to serve these 4 people, but to actually integrate them into the body of the life of the church and serve alongside them. In fact, people with disabilities are the largest unreached population in the world. And this is one of the really cool things about Amberlee, in that we realized ultimately when God made her blind, she did become an indigenous missionary to the world's largest people group. And that is what she does now. She's a blind missionary nurse.
And that is a good tease and a good place. We're going to we have to take a break. Can you stay with us,
Absolutely.
Linda?
Absolutely. Thank you.
We're going to come back and talk to you about the work that Amberlee began and continues to do and that you can be a part of when we come back from the break right after this on ABQ Connect. Hey, we're in the midst of a conversation with Glenda Durano. Her website, by the way, is glendadurano.com, author, speaker, and more. We take a whole hour to talk about the things you do, Glenda. You've always been a busy person. You are not idle. I will say it's impressive, but we would encourage the listener to go to the website to find out more about the book, Sacred Sight. And I'm looking at the fine print because there's a subtitle, Finding Hope Through Heartache, which we really kind of covered in our first segment. If you missed it, it'll be archived at abqconnect.online. But when we left off, we were talking about her daughter, Amberlee, after becoming disabled, and prior to becoming disabled, wanting to be a missionary. But of course, knowing that the most effective missionaries are those that are indigenous, our audience should be well acquainted with that, with our work with the GFA World, how they raise up missionaries in Asia and Africa to share the love of Christ. And so now Amberlee, being disabled, realized that she could be an indigenous missionary to the disabled. Can you walk us through how that came about and where it's gone?
Sure. So Amberlee realized when she heard the statistics about people with disabilities, and she was in a seminar being the largest unreached people group in the world, she thought, wow, I know what God wants me to do. So she started looking for jobs, and she found a lot of need, but very few opportunities. And she told us, she said, Mom, I want to make sure God leads me to the right place. I'm not going to go out and network with people. I'm just going to wait on God. Well, she was about 2 weeks before she graduated with her master's, and her pastor came up to her after a prayer meeting and said, Amberlee, you are going to think I'm nuts, but God has given me, and remember, Amberlee had not mentioned one thing to him. He said, God has given me a vision that I am supposed to create an organization for unreached people groups. And I didn't realize, but the largest unreached people group is people with disabilities. And I didn't know if this is something that you might be interested in helping me with. And of course, she was like, oh my gosh. So God actually led her to that. And so together they founded an organization that serves churches. It's called the Banquet Network. And what it does is it goes into churches, helps churches, coaches churches in integrating people with disabilities, not serving them because they need our help, but actually having them become a body, part of the body of Christ. Because until we include people with disabilities, which remember, it's 1 billion people in the world, 1 in 5 in the United States, we will never become the full body of Christ until we actually do integrate them in. This is not about a choice. This is about us as the church becoming the body.
And, you know, there's a lot of organizations, several, that will go into a church and because not every church is equipped or trained how they might want to be in order to do missions. And Amberlee, and I'm assuming the pastor is still involved. You're involved.
Yes.
Going into churches to more specifically train them how to be missionaries reaching the disabled in their community.
That's right. Because it's a lot of times it may start because, for example, a child with Down syndrome may be in the church. And so it may be in reach. But the important thing to remember is the outreach as well. Because like I said, largest unreached people group in the world. And so that's what it's all about. And it's not about a cookie cutter situation like you must do a buddy team or you must do this or you must do that. What is the church's, you know, what's their values? What's their vision? What do they see and how to integrate people with disabilities into that vision? It's not about adding more. Yeah. It's about integrating.
And not just bringing those with disabilities into the church to see their souls redeemed. Not that is primary.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. But I have to imagine, and I'm guessing, I haven't looked through this whole thing, but I'm going to guess discipleship is a part of this, not only to disciple those that are in need of discipleship, but to encourage them to invite others into the family of God and create disciples creating disciples.
Absolutely. It's a very strong community, and serving alongside and just becoming part of the body of Christ. That's what it's about.
Now, let's go back to the book a little, which, by the way, I don't want to leave the Banquet Network without letting you know. You can go to their website. It's as simple as that, thebanquetnetwork.com. And I may want, if we have time, I may want to touch more on the Banquet Network, but I want the listeners to go, especially if you're an attendee at a church that, you know that is an area where I know we could use some assistance. This is the part of the story, the part of the journey. God used Amberlee and her family and her pastor to create this ministry, reaching out to a large portion of the globe. Right. And, you know, in our local community, your local community, whether you're listening in Las Cruces or Cannon Air Force Base, Portales, maybe you're listening online anywhere in the world. We have listeners all over the place that the Banquet Network may have the tools that could assist you in that endeavor. Back to the book, what do you feel like some of the insights that you've provided in the book, we've maybe touched on here. Mm-hmm. What's resonated most with the listeners or the readers?
There has been, I'm so grateful that a lot has resonated, but I think one of the big things is about how prayer requests can become idols. Another thing is about how God has primarily, he shows his love not primarily through circumstance, but through the relationship we have with them. Also about how, you know, when a person is suffering, we really look for answers, but answers only satisfy the head. It doesn't satisfy the heart. The only thing that satisfies the heart is relationship, and specifically relationship with Christ. There are so many about how we can only learn being stable, how to be stable in a storm. There's just, it's a way of looking at prayer as well as, I guess I can say, our faith just a little bit differently, really, really getting to know the Lord, not just what he does, but who he is.
And then, you know, we all have a life verse, and I know that there's a verse that fits well into your story.
Definitely.
In the book of Ephesians. Can you share that with us?
Absolutely. So Ephesians 3:20, Paul offers a prayer about how God can do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or think. And the reason that fits into our prayer, our story, is because the thing that we could imagine would be the absolute best was healing. And God had so much more. In fact, just a very quick story. Amberlee was at home recovering, and she came into the living room one day, and she said, "Boy, I was just praying for healing, and I felt God reprimand me for praying for healing." I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "God said, why do you pray for healing? I offer resurrection." And what we did not know at that particular point was that God wanted Amberlee to give up her dream so that he could give her his dream. And that's beyond what we could even imagine. And that's the thing. Sometimes we really do limit ourselves by saying, this is what I want.
Our way.
Oh, our way. But God's got so, so much more we can't even imagine.
Yeah. And he tells us.
He does.
His ways are much higher than our ways. So here's something I would encourage the listener, whatever you're struggling with, that first of all, find Jesus. Mm. If you're a Christian in a circumstance where you're not seeing the answer you're looking for, pray to God that he'll remove the obstacles that are keeping you from seeing what he wants you to learn and act on based on what's happening in your life. Is that pretty close?
That's great, because a lot of times we think we're looking for answers. We have the answer in Jesus Christ, but we're looking for something else. Yeah. So we don't see it.
And we want the gem or the pearl, there's a lot of analogies there, but just hear me in this. When he has a treasure chest full of things for us, he's like, okay, go this way, go over here. Pray that God would use the Spirit to open your eyes to what he has planned for you. And listen, that's not to take anything away from the feelings that you're having. Do you want to speak to some encouragement to that, Glenda, for those that are you walked through it. I can try, and I've had my own trials, but I can't imagine what you've gone through.
Right. I would have to say pain is hard and painful, and God is right there weeping beside you. I believe, I know, in God's original plan, he did not plan death, disease, destruction, but I can tell you this, he can take a natural consequence of our broken world and he can use it for his benefit and his glory. And focus on what you do know, that God is good and that he loves you, rather than what you don't know. Lean into him.
Yeah. Well, he's got something special planned for you. And before we put a bow on our conversation, Glenda, which, by the way, if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Glenda Durano, author of Sacred Light, Finding Hope Through Heartache. She writes in the book what they experienced with her daughter becoming ill and becoming disabled, and praying for healing and finding in the midst of the storm.
Yes,
really, that God may not remove the things that were being prayed to be removed, but in the midst of that, we'll find a way for Amberly, Glenda, the rest of the family to serve God and find peace and comfort in that. And glorify him in the midst of it.
Absolutely.
I thank God that is where your family has landed, including the Banquet Network, which we mentioned earlier in this conversation, in this segment, an organization that Amberly and her pastor. Now, was this prior to being married?
No, she was married.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm assuming the family is active in...
Very much, yes, in the board and everything like that.
Yeah.
We are very passionate about bringing integration of people with disabilities into the life of the church.
And if you go to thebanquetnetwork.com, you can find out more about that. Tell us a little bit about the startup workshop.
Sure. So what we found is that even though churches are very interested, churches are very busy. And so what we've done on the Banquet Network's website is we've got a series of about 8 videos, which helps churches. They can go, it's on demand, it's completely free, and they can go through and they can, with their own vision and their own values, figure out how they can integrate people with disabilities. It could be, for example, something as simple as, okay, for Special Olympics, we're going to serve breakfast. Or it could be, we're going to have an after-school program for kids with special needs. It could be forming a buddy system. It could be doing a respite night. It could look like 1,000 different things. And so that's what the Getting Started workshop is, absolutely free. And then afterwards, you call and we will follow up. We will help you take the steps to do that. Again, not a cookie cutter solution. We will just help you in whatever way we can to become the body of Christ.
Well, I don't want to cut you off. We're pretty well out of time, Glenda, but I do want to throw it back to you. If you had anything else left unsaid, what else would you want to make sure the listener knows?
God is so faithful. He is just so faithful. Hang on.
Yeah. All right. Glenda Durana's been our guest. Glenda, thank you.
Thank you.
We encourage you to go to the website, glendadurano.com. glendadoc.com. And you can find out about the book and the other things that Glenda does. She's quote unquote retired, but keeping busy doing the Lord's work. And you can go to thebanquetnetwork.com and find out more about that and how you can be supportive of the work that they're doing. But if you click on if you're a church that's thinking, you know, what might we be able to learn by connecting with the Banquet Network. There's a video there right on the startup workshop page. Real easy to find. Go to thebanquetnetwork.com or glendadorano.com and look for Sacred Site, Finding Hope Through Heartache, wherever you find your favorite books.
Yes.
Glenda, thanks again. We'll have to have you back in again.
Thank you.
All right. And stay with us. There's more to come. New Mexico Men of Honor are preparing for their next event, and we hope to have that information for you as we continue after this on ABQ Connect.